Praise God. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 20. So we're gonna just look at a passage in the scripture, and I'm going to just do as much as I can here and show you some foundational things about who we are as a people. So I'm going to start with verse 1. I'm just going to read a few verses, and then we're going to talk. So from there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. This is Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20, verse 2. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She's my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. All right, so how many of you have remembered when Abraham did something like this before? He kind of didn't tell the truth about his wife. Yep, with Pharaoh, and now he does it again. And you'd think he'd learn his lesson because it kind of got him in trouble before. And here it is at the end of his life, or, you know, towards the end, and he's still saying it, you know. We'll talk about that a little bit too. But it says, God came to Abimelech, and I feel like my voice is really loud. Is it? Can I turn it down, or is it okay? Are you guys okay with it, this volume? Okay. Because if I get excited, I'll have to pull the mic away. All right. So God, Abimelech took Sarah. That means he brought her in the house to make him one of his concubines. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman you've taken, for she's a man's wife." Now, Abimelech had not approached her. That was a very delicate way of saying it. So he said, "Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did not he himself say to me, 'She's my sister,' and she herself said, 'He's my brother?' In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this." Notice he says, my attitude and my actions have been good. Okay, then God said to him in the dream, they're having a conversation. "Yes, I know that you've done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against her, or against me." So he knew he had a good attitude, and actually God stepped in there and kept him from sinning. That's a cool idea. God likes to keep us from sinning. If he can do it, he'll do it. Anyway, if we let him. Anyway, so now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. Look at that verse 7 again. He is a prophet and he will pray for you and you shall live. You shall be healed. Okay? But if you don't return, know that you shall surely die, and all who are yours. So, what do we understand about Abraham? If I were to ask, and I asked a lot of the Brazilian people, I said, "Look, when you think of Abraham, what's the first word that comes to your mind?" Abraham is the father of nations, father of faith, right? But he is also a prophet. God called him a prophet to a guy in a dream. So we don't ever hear that preached, at least, but you're going to hear it here, okay? Because I preach the word, praise God. I'm serious. Abraham is a prophet. God called him a prophet, and he's the first person that uses the label prophet. It's the first time the word prophet appears in Genesis, right here, right with Abraham. Well, doesn't it make sense, guys? Come on, think about it. Faith, it takes faith to prophesy. We got one amen on that. Let me try that again. It takes faith to prophesy. Amen, amen, doesn't it? One of the early definitions of faith I got was, how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Am I right? You got it too, right? You got to step out, right? You got to step out and do what you're prompting in your spirit, and then that causes you to try something that you could not be successful except God. That means you put yourself in a place where only God can make it work. And this is what it is. We need to understand, yes, Abraham is the father of our faith, but he is also our prophet. He is the prophet. And if Abraham can prophesy, then we can prophesy too, because we have faith. That means everybody here, y'all have faith, right? Well, y'all prophesy then. Prophesy. That's what Abraham did. Now, how did why was he called a prophet? Well, he says, what's he going to do? He says, he's going to pray. First time the word prayer is used in Genesis. First time. Isn't that cool? So what do prophets do first? To me, the most important thing a prophet does is not prophesy, but pray. Because when you pray, you're spending time with God, you're walking with God, you're listening to God, you're talking to God, and then you're developing a relationship with God. So in order to be a prophet, it's not just like God gives you a piece of paper and says, just say this. There's got to be a real relationship with the Lord. Prayer is not getting prayer is not giving the shopping list to God and saying, God, I need this. And then going to heaven and getting stuff out of the store. Sorry, guys, I know you got to do that for the girl. That's what you do for your wife. Go out and shop for her. Here's the list. Go get it. I do that, but I don't treat God that way. I don't think of prayer that way either. To me, prayer is in relationship with God. And then while you're there, oh, by the way, Lord, you know, I need this. I have this because you're in a relationship with him. And that's where the answers come. They come because of who you are and who God made you to be. You're his son and daughter. I'll do anything for you. That's the reason, because Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. None more that he could pay. Well, that'll preach right there. That's another message right there. Nothing more he can give. He gave it all. Amen? So we have first use of prophet, first use of prayer, and then it says, what's he going to do next? Verse 7, it says it again. He will pray for you and you'll be healed. Live. You shall live. He says right there. So you've got the first, that word live is the word for healing. All right? And so we have this concept of healing. First time somebody gets healed in the book of Genesis. First time. So isn't that interesting that if I were to give you a definition of prophecy, you'd say a guy gets up and says, thus saith the Lord, and there it is. Not necessarily, but we need to understand that that can mean that you can walk up to somebody and pray for them and they're going to get healed. That's being a prophet. Is that okay with you? Is that okay to be a prophet that way? Is it okay to pray over somebody and just see them healed and that they'll live, that they'll actually be a thing? And then also, this is the first time the word dream is used in the Bible. Not Joseph, Abraham. First time somebody has a dream. What do prophets do? They dream dreams and they interpret dreams, right? That's a big deal for prophets. That's what Joseph did as a prophet. He interpreted. He said, do not all dreams belong to God? Interpretation belong to God? So there's a way. So dreams are very, very important in prophets, for prophets. And he says, if you don't do this, you're going to die, you and all who are yours. So what do prophets do? Another thing that prophets do, because this is what happened in the dream, is a warning. Prophets will tell you the warning to people that they need to hear so that they will be blessed. Sometimes you have to just tell somebody, don't do that. Stop what you're doing. Make this thing right, because if you don't, you're going to have a very bad consequence. And we need that. I mean, we have people in law enforcement, for example, or a traffic cop, or if there's construction going on, and you see the cones, right, up there that tell you don't go there. They're there for a reason. And prophets are the ones who set the cones in the road to tell you don't drive down that road. You hear what I'm saying? Don't think of a prophet as being somebody who's always trying to put somebody down. Sometimes you just got to make them safe. And you're just telling somebody to be safe. Don't go down that road. Don't live like that. You know, that, and that's really, really important. And this is what Abimelech was being confronted by. I mean, because of Abraham, God spoke to Abimelech in a dream. And God will speak to people in dreams because of you. He'll speak to them. And then he'll, and you can tell them what the dream means if they need to know. Right? I mean, I would be, let people know. If they have a dream, tell them, hey, tell me your dream. I'll tell you what it means. God will show you. He wants you to know. Why? Because God uses dreams to warn people. He does that. It stops them from doing. Sometimes he'll use dreams to encourage people. And he'll use dreams to direct people, to give you direction. You know, and he's used dreams my whole life. And I like it when the Lord speaks to me in dreams, because I'm asleep at the time. And sleeping is good. So he doesn't have to, you know. Sometimes he'll speak to you in a vision. Sometimes he'll speak to you when you're just kind of being quiet and still, and then you see something and you know God's showing you this. I had a dream not long ago. The Lord said, John, he showed me an Indy race car, not a NASCAR race car, but an Indy race car. And I was looking at the back of it, and I could see that all tires were good except for one tire. Was still worn down a little bit. And the Lord just did, it was a very short little vision, and I knew it was from the Lord. And basically he was telling me, John, you're almost ready to race again. You just got to fix that one tire. In other words, there's something to do still. You're not quite ready yet to race, but you're going to roll really fast. It was encouraging, because I know them Indy cars are fast. You know, NASCAR cars are fast too, but you know what I'm saying. But I realized that one tire was telling me, okay, there's just a little more attention. Got to take care of that tire, because you don't want to be driving fast and having one of your tires really worn, right? Because they get real slick. You don't want to fall. So that was just the Lord's encouragement to me. That's how I took it. In my you may have a different interpretation, but that's how God spoke to me. And so dreams are very, very important. So we're going to just be very simple. God wants us to see faith as a way to believe God in his word, but that faith includes being a prophet. Don't keep prophecy separate from all the other stuff. See it as one big, big picture of faith, prophecy, dreams, prayer, healing, miracles. It's all there. It's all there. It's all there for God's people. God wants it. Abraham is our father. He's our father. He really is. So if you look at Acts chapter 2:28, and you all know this scripture, but I thought I'd point you there anyway. On the day of Pentecost, I'll get there in Acts chapter 2. This is really amazing. Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching. Actually, not 28, it's 16. Yeah, Acts 2:16. Acts 2:16. The day of Pentecost. Peter preaches, these people are not drunk as you suppose. This is what was uttered by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Everybody say all flesh. Not just one and not the other. It's everybody. and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your kids, so that deals with the age groups, right? Young kids. So why don't we talk to our kids about their dreams? Do we? Just a question. Why don't we ask them to lay hands on the sick? Why don't we ask them to pray? You know, we got prayer, we got prophecy, we've got dreams, we've got, right? It says, young men shall see visions and your old men dream dreams. So you got visions and dreams. This is definition of prophecy, right? And then it says, my male servants and I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heavens above and signs on earth below. So it says all flesh. And one of the things that I felt was really strong in this trip was to emphasize the fact is that God wants all of you to prophesy. All of you. Don't rule yourself out. Don't keep yourself out of the loop. Don't think, well, that's just for a special speaker to come. We all prophesy, and a bunch of us prophesy today, and sometimes, and I know that Jan gets visions, and she gets visions when she's in here, and she usually shares what they are. I believe there's somebody's maybe in this room that gets visions, but they don't share it, because why don't you share what you see? Do it. You know, just release it. Release it. And there may be a time when God will speak to you in a dream that it's something for you to share at the service the night before. You know, you get a night before dream, and then you come out here. You know, I had another dream this morning or last night, and that dream was basically telling me that this church is good. We're in good shape. We've got some things to fix up, but we're doing good. Things are going well. And it was solid because the walls I saw of the building, I was in this building and I was at this church, and the walls were really solid, but they needed a little bit of touch up. They need a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And how many of you know that physically we need it? But also spiritually, there's more that God wants to do and strengthen the church. And he wants to make us so activated prophetically that we just walk in that anointing. And let me tell you, it's through faith that the Holy Spirit is poured out. Because we hear the word, we receive the word, but when we hear the word and we believe the word, the Holy Spirit comes in and fills us and then releases us as we believe. It's faith that is the door for the Spirit to come and to bless us, and to cause us to prophesy, to cause us to dream dreams, and then it's a cycle, and then it enables us to reach out to people and just talk to them and relate to people as we relate to people, just like Abraham. Notice that his prophetic ministry was first spoken about how you can minister to other people. Isn't that interesting? It's not that Abraham had the dream. It was that a heathen had the dream. And then God God interpreted the dream to him and right in the thing, but God used Abraham to minister to him, open up a door for ministry. So I'm praying that somehow God will just do that more and more with us. I'm believing God that you're going to prophesy in ways that you never dream. And just believe him. So that's what I shared a lot with the people, just not just for the guest speaker, and that was part of my burden. So that's part of this church's inheritance, I think. Not just me. It's this place that God established up here. Amen? So I just love you guys. Appreciate it. It was good to be home. Good to be gone. Good to be home. Amen?